Blog Talk Radio.
Prosers. Welcome to the new season of Prosy's Corner, a show all about promotional conversation, dream chasing, motivation, and all-encompassing inspiration. I am your host, author Mara Pros, joined by my wonderful co-host, Nikki W.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show this beautiful Saturday morning. So just a little tidbit about me. Most of you know that I'm an avid reader, but I only read romance and some self-help. But I also love to cook. So I will be sharing a little bit about myself each week as we go along. But I want to tell you, we've changed the format. Now we ask that you text your questions in the last 10 minutes of each segment to the number 346-917-0634. So the last 10 minutes of each segment, please text your questions and we'll get them answered.
Absolutely. And so today's guest is a friend, a brother, and just an all-around amazing individual. My goal in life is really just to give him a hard time because he gives other people a hard time all the time. But no, I have so much love for him. Challenges you to, critically think, push the envelope in his discussions. Not only is he an internationally recognized dating conversation specialist, but he is a published author, and he's the host of the Hot Seat Challenge Talk Show, featuring his own line of nationally award-winning hot sauces. So, Nick, do you want to tell us more about our special guest?
Yes, he did not intend to revolutionize the dating process, but he did. Dr. Andre Blaylock is a native of Raleigh, North Carolina. He is a professional model, published author, international blogger. He is also a certified life coach and was awarded an honorary doctorate degree in counseling in 2017. Never afraid of controversy or pushing back against the traditional mindset and ideologies of the past, Dr. Blaylock has garnered a myriad of admirers and critics alike. His blog, Sex Conversations of a Gigolo, has a global footprint of over 85 countries to date. Andre has been featured on several nationally syndicated radio and television talk programs, the most recent being
the Dr. Phil Show.
The Dr. Phil Show.
Yes. So let us give a warm, warm welcome to Andre. Andre, you there? Andre?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. We can hear you now.
Cool. Get it together, sound man.
Yes, get it together now. Come on, we're waiting on you.
Look, and don't think I didn't hear the little smart comment that you just made about giving me problems. I have a big headlock for you. You know what I'm saying? So just know that. Know that.
Well, see, that's what we do.
Yes, that's what we do. That's how we do.
Yeah.
And Nikki
can't
say.
We have a lot of people who, when I was promoting this show, and they were like, scientific skepticism, they said, I don't know what that is. So please,
right.
please give them a definition because you confuse the masses here.
Okay, cool. Okay, well, first, science is not a set of beliefs, but it's a set of methods that can be attributed and duplicated over time, right? So scientific skepticism is when you question your thought process and everything you know, and how do you arrive at your truth? This process causes one to base their beliefs on actual evidence and not wishful thinking, and leads to more reliable results, in fact. So that's basically what scientific skepticism is in a nutshell. It's a way of testing your beliefs in a real way against evidence that's already available.
Cool. Okay.
Wow.
I know Nikki has a specific question, too, because she sent me actually a Marco Polo about this, and she's like, okay, I don't know what to ask. So okay. She has several questions for you.
How do we begin this, Andre? How do you just throw that out there to people? And where do we start?
Okay. All right. Check it out. First off, our thoughts, beliefs, and habits. That's pretty much when it comes to dating and relationships. Those could be our allies or our enemies. Our thoughts, our beliefs, and our habits. And what we think, we tend to believe. Those beliefs drive our actions, and those repetitive actions form the habits that govern our lives. Now, just because we believe something, that does not make it true. You have a lot of people who still believe the earth is flat and that Bigfoot walks the earth. Okay, but there's no empirical data or evidence that supports that belief system, yet it's true to them. And what I want to start off by saying that logic and critical thinking are learned skills that need to be acquired, developed, and practiced for years to be any good at it. Most of us think that we're logical thinkers. We think that we're practical. We think that we're rational. But humans are not inherently logical creatures. Now, we possess logic, but we're not primarily logical. We're emotional, and those emotions often override our logical abilities. So you say, where do we start? Especially in relationships, a lot of these isms and expectations that predate the partner that you're meeting or that you're dating, that's a form of emotional thinking that's based upon habit or experience or something that you were taught that you believe, but most of us have never taken those belief systems and weighed it against actual data that might suggest otherwise. Does that make any sense?
Somewhat, but elaborate some more.
Okay, well, basically, logical thinking and critical thinking is no more natural to humans than, let's just say, we're not all born concert violinists or NFL players. We can develop that skill over time, but it's just not going to automatically happen. What a lot of us do is we draw conclusions, right, in the beginning. We draw conclusions in the beginning, and what the mind does is it'll go through great lengths to find information and evidence to support those conclusions we already have arrived at, even if those conclusions are not grounded in truth. I don't know an easier way to say that, basically, but that's pretty much what we do.
No, I get it. And how do you think that negatively affects relationships? Because I know you and I had a conversation earlier this week about that, but we were going to save the bulk of it for the show.
Right. Well, basically, I mean, thinking is a process, not a conclusion. And once we emotionally invest in a conclusion, we start to twist facts and logic to support the conclusions we settled on, even if it's utter false. Now, how does it affect the relationship? It's because if I believe that a real woman is supposed to stay home, not work, cook, and iron my clothes, and I meet a woman who's independent, she already has a career choice, a career path, we may be able to make it in life, but because of my beliefs, my thoughts, which have become my habit, I'm constantly forcing good women out because they don't meet this conclusion that I've already prearranged in my mind. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
You know?
Perfect sense.
And so, go ahead. So sometimes, I'll continue. So sometimes these false beliefs and mutually incompatible beliefs destroy many relationships because they're rooted in emotion, not fact. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Nikki.
Some people have these beliefs because that's what they were taught, like you said. So they see these things as they're growing up. They may have been in a household where the mom and the dad was just like that. So then they take that into their adult life and they think that that's the way it's supposed to be. Right? So how do you get someone to change their mindset if this is what they've known? This is what they grew up with and really and truly believe?
Well, it's a process really called metacognition, which is thinking about thinking itself. I often say that our parents basically replicated in us what they were taught. And a lot of times parents vicariously live through their children, and they want children to succeed in areas where they fail. So basically parents try a second chance at life through their children. And all I'm saying is when we were children up until the age of 7, our heads was unscrewed, information, ideas, fears, all that stuff was poured into us, and then it was screwed on, and that formed our personality. And a lot of people, when we're grown, we never challenge the way we were brought up, and we will say at a later age, this is just how I am. This is just who I am.
Right.
Well, that's not true because that's who you choose to be. Personality can be changed because all your personality is a series of thoughts and habits and beliefs that you run a pattern on, and anytime you want to, you can change those thoughts, habits, and beliefs and form new ways of doing things. It's just uncomfortable to do that. Because when it comes to thought is not naturally occurring. Like, we think that we're free and independent thinkers. Not really. What thought does is it normally follows the path of predetermined expectations, ideas. It rarely ever asks us to go outside of that, think something new. Like the educational system, most of the time we feel a person is educated if they went to college and earned a degree, but all that does is it doesn't teach you how to think or think critically. All it does is demonstrate that you know how to read information, memorize it, and regurgitate that information to pass the test. But that is not thinking. And most of us just run these habits and patterns. And it's really getting in the way of successful, effective relationships because whenever you take an idea that cannot be measured on a natural plane, like supernatural beliefs, it's okay, but a lot of that stuff is based upon wishful thinking. Either you know or you do not know. Those are the two choices. Either you know something or you do not know. But we don't stop at, you know what, Nikki, you know what, Mara, I don't know. We get into conjecture. Well, I don't know, but I believe. Well, where does that belief come from? Most of the time it's how you were raised, what you experienced. It doesn't have to be true. You could be believing in Bigfoot, but if your parents taught you Bigfoot and the world or earth is flat, that's how you're going to shape your worldview, and it's going to cause you to miss out on a lot of great information, great relationships because you're narrow-minded, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Right. And that was the key word that I was going to say. I believe that that tunnel vision, that narrow-mindedness really holds a lot of people back. So, Andre, I'm going to ask you, what do you think is the game changer or the eye-opener for an individual that you've seen when you've counseled people? What has been the aha moment that, you know what, I need to rethink things here because it's just not working out for me. I'm not getting the relationship that I want. What makes them look within themselves?
Well, first off, it's a term called logical fallacies. And That means that we make logical connections that are not valid or even real. And there's a lot of errors that occur in our thinking. So what I normally do is I ask questions because questions lead to more questions, which lead to more questions. And a person will keep on digging and digging based upon their experience, their upbringing, their beliefs, their thoughts. But you ask the right questions, they're going to hit rock bottom where they have to come up with, I don't know. And most of us carry many false assumptions. Our heads are filled with facts, things that we know to be true, but that are not actually true. And by asking different questions that lead to other questions, you have to say, okay, if this is true, then this also must be true. And if that's true, this must be true. But a lot of times we have these little thoughts and beliefs, isms and expectations that we keep walled off away from scrutiny. Because if I really get in your head and get into those deep things that you believe and start comparing it to things like, for instance, I'll tell a lot of people when it comes to marriage, I'll tell women right quick, depending upon the research, that many men are not opting for marriage these days because legally speaking, it's not in a man's best interest to get married anymore. Not saying that he doesn't want to be committed, not saying that he doesn't want to be monogamous, but from a legal standpoint, it just does not work out in the man's favor. But women will argue and push back, well, the real man and all this stuff. I'm like, look, these are the statistics according to the Census Bureau, not Andre Blaylock. The Census Bureau states for many years that rich people are getting married, they're getting married frequently, and they're staying married longer. Census data also shows that if you're lower class or lower middle class or middle class, the chances of you getting married is slimmer, and if you do get married, odds of you getting divorced increase exponentially based upon income. That's census data, but you still have people that will look at that and say, I don't care. I know there's someone out there for me. Based upon what? Is it based upon actual information, data, or is it based upon the wishful thinking in your mind? When you start asking questions like that and people really want to change, then they start coming up with different answers that will challenge their thought. Problem is, most people want to hold on with a kung fu grip to what mama and daddy showed them or taught them. True. But I'm like, why do you think that millennials are getting married later, if at all, and choosing later in life, like their 30s, mid-30s, to get married and have kids, if anything, because they looked at previous generations and they said, I don't care what you say and what your mama and daddy told you. Grandma loved me, but I'm looking at the statistics and what you're saying don't hold water. Why am I going to still hold on to those thoughts and belief systems when the data shows it's not effective? So critical thinking will cause you to look at stuff like that and rearrange your thought patterns because you're going to get what you want. And I often say this, and I think I said this to you earlier, Myra. Most of us have ingredients inside of us. If I have the ingredients inside of me based upon my thoughts, my beliefs, and my habits that taste like chocolate, but I want red velvet, every woman that I meet, I'm going to get a different product. I might get a cake. I might get brownies, I might get cookies, waffles, pancakes, but every one of those products are going to taste like chocolate because that's the only ingredient I have in me. I can never get to red velvet unless I change the ingredients, and sometimes you have to unlearn in order to relearn, and that's what critical or scientific skepticism is all about. Once you start looking at what's inside of you and say, you know what, I'm tired of these damn chocolate chip cookies now. I want something different, but I'm not going to get in unless I go to the store, which is learn different things like the art of communication, effective communication. A lot of times I ask this question, is information, I'm going to ask you, is information and communication interchangeable? Is the definition interchangeable, ladies? In a relationship, most people say,
go ahead, Nikki.
That's a thought. No, I was just thinking about that. That's a thought, and you got to think about that one. Is information and communication interchangeable? I don't know about that, Andre.
In a relationship, we're in a relationship, so it's like, okay, information and communication. Most people cite effective communication, or they don't say effective, they say communication is a key point in most relationships. So do you think information and communication are the same thing?
I do.
Okay.
I would use them interchangeably. There are times
right.
that I'm informing you, and there's times that I'm just simply communicating with you. The information, though, that I'm giving you is really when I'm informing you, I'm giving you more insight into me. Communication can just be something that's just kind of general. Hey, we're talking about my fave, Game of Thrones. Andre, did you watch it last Sunday or whatever? But information to me, there has to be a result coming from that. There's a purpose to it in my mind.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That makes sense. Now, if I dug deeper, we might hit rock bottom, you know, if I questioned you more, but I'm not because we have a limited time on the show. But basically, they're different. They're not interchangeable. Information is giving out, right?
Okay.
Communication is getting through. Information is giving out. Communication is getting through. You can give me as much information as you want to and think we're having a great communication or conversation, but communication has not occurred because I'm still holding on to my thoughts and my process. Great effective communication is speaking in a way that people want to hear what you have to say and is listening in a way that you want to be heard. And most of the time when people are having these communications, it's kind of like you give me all this information, but I ain't really trying to hear you because I'm waiting for a pause to come in the communication so I can override what you're saying because most of us don't listen to understand. We listen to debate or to get our point across.
Right.
That's true.
Right. So the premise of all of this, I guess, if I had to encapsulate it, is effective communication in relationships is when the words that leave my mouth and into your ears are understood the same way that I meant them. I'm petty. If I'm in a relationship with you, Nikki, if I'm in a relationship with you, Myra, I have a dictionary. And when we're talking, especially if it's one of those what I call a clipboard conversation, it's all heated, I'm going to use as few words as possible because you're going to interpret those words based upon your emotions, your mood. Does that make sense? Your mood and your mood kind of and your attitude are going to define my words for me. So if I'm angry with you, I'm going to use as few words as possible. Because I don't want you to take my words and twist them. And most of us have been in relationships and conversations. When we say something, then the person jumps on what we said. Then I ain't even say that. What you talking about? Exactly.
Right.
They processed it based upon their own internal definition without asking you, what do you mean by that? Pulling out a dictionary and saying, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish.
No, and it's petty, but that's what communication is. It's an ebb and flow. It's like when you say this, I need to repeat it back to you. Is this what you mean? Because words, I might interpret it the wrong way, especially if you done got on my nerves because you burnt the breakfast in the morning or you ate the last piece of chicken. You know what I'm saying? I'm already in a different mood. All day I go and eat the chicken. You done ate it all, and now you want to have one of these clipboard conversations. I ain't really hearing you. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking about my chicken.
And see, that commentary that he just gave you was the only thing that I was going to say to our listeners is heaven help the woman that gets into a relationship with Andre.
Yay!
Tomorrow.
All right. Headlock ties too.
1 point from Mara. Okay, there we go. All right.
Okay.
Proceed,
all right.
Dr.
Now,
Andre.
Check this out. Okay, now, I'm going to give a couple of tools here to hopefully help the audience. Because just to give out this information without communicating or getting through to you would be ridiculous. So mm-hmm. I would ask you to employ what we call the 360 feedback survey. And what the 360 survey feedback survey is going to do is, most of us, when we look in the mirror and we think of ourselves, we have one idea. I know who I am, blah, blah, blah. I got you. But again, that does not have to be truthful, because when I look in the mirror and I see one image and someone takes a picture of me, but I don't like to take photographs because I'm ugly in pictures. Nah, baby, you look like the picture. What you look like or think you look like in the mirror is something up for debate. But you look like that picture. If you look like Shrek on the pictures, that's what you look like. You look like Shrek. But anyway, here's the 360 feedback survey. Okay, you ask three people on your job, and these three people need to be a subordinate, they need to be someone that's on your level, and they need to be a superior. You ask three of your close friends, and then if you're really brazen, you ask someone who intimidates you, someone you cannot stand, but someone that can't stand you either. And when you get those nine people, you might have to come up with 12, because everybody's not going to try to be dishonest with you. Your enemies might, but your friends might not, okay? Especially if you have one of them little sensitive egos. But check it out. You ask those nine people to give you two sets of information. Number one, please email me so I won't have to cuss you out if you say it to me, but email me my strengths and my talents. But also email me my weaknesses and how I self-sabotage myself. Now, once you get that information, that's going to give you a cross-section from various people who are looking at you, especially your enemy. Because a lot of times we call our enemy haters. But if you don't have any enemies, you better get you some. Because enemies, once they're allies, they feel they have something to prove, so they will give you their best. Your friends will take you for granted. So anyway, sure. Once you get this information, look at it. Objectively look at it and apply scientific skepticism. What is true about it? What's the same? Because all these people are not going to say the exact same thing because they don't know each other if it wasn't something they noticed. And a lot of times, in order to be effective, it's not really about how you perceive yourself. That is important. But you really have to pay attention, especially employing scientific skepticism, and pay attention to how do others view you. Because you're living with yourself, yes, but when you communicate in relationships and stuff, it's very important how other people view you. The 360 feedback survey is going to give you that type of information. And then you have to ask yourself, this is true about me. I never saw this, but all these people are saying this one thing. I thought I was different. Well, I don't care what nobody says. I know who I am. You can do that, but you won't grow. Or all right. You can take that information and be like, this is how people are perceiving me. And perhaps this is why I'm not getting the relationships that I want. Maybe this is why I'm not getting the promotions on my job I want. Maybe that's why people only get so close. You got to take that and then apply it. That's the first one. And towards the end of the show, and I leave it on you all to tell me when that is, I want to really give three questions to ask yourself as it pertains to your thinking. And if you answer those questions honestly, it will move you from point A to point B on throughout your life.
We've got about five more minutes, so we have time for you to give us the question.
Cool. All right. Number one, is your belief or expectation true, or is it a result of habit, experience, or wishful thinking? All right. And like I said, there's evidence and data out there that you can weigh what you think and believe against that to see if it matches. Number two is your logic biased? Does it lean in a specific predetermined direction? You know, okay, well, I'm a logical person. Well, not really. That leads to the third point. What is your motivation? How do you benefit from the conclusion? How will the actual evidence affect your life? a lot of us just don't want the truth because it's going to cause us to change. And pretty much we talk that talk, but it's easier to remain the way we are than it is to do the hard work inside to change ourselves so we can make real difference in our lives and those who love us.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two tests that I would suggest that people apply to their lives, to their thinking, to their isms and expectations, and see what you've been coming up with. I don't care how great you are. I have so many women talking about a real man would do this, a real man would do that. And Mara, you probably read on my post, this neurosurgeon is making $400,000 a year. The man that she loves, who she married, makes $44,000 a year. She paid for the wedding. She paid for the honeymoon. They love each other. They don't have a problem with it. But you have some women saying, date up. Look at what Serena Williams is doing. Look at what I'm like, everybody don't qualify for that. You can want Tiger Woods all you want to, but if Tiger don't want you, you stuck in the mud.
There you go.
So see, we have to do another show just on that because
I have
been seeing those posts. I have been.
Girl, we got to come back because I'm telling you, there's so much, especially when it comes to dating and the age of a woman, and when you start talking about age and stuff, oh my God, people just kind of get cracks all in their face, their booty, their body. But it's like, hey, there's certain things that are relative when it comes to information that you need to apply because it's affecting you. So I'm gonna shut up and leave it there because I'm getting all hot.
You're getting heated over there.
Yes.
I am.
Yeah, I told you he was here to cause trouble.
But that's okay, we love it, we love it.
Do you want to give
your
information? Yeah, well, basically, y'all, if you're interested in finding me and despite what Nikki and Mara say, I'm just as sweet with the halo on my head. It's a little twisted and bent, but it's still up there. You can go to andreblaylock.com to reach out to me. There you'll find my blog post. I'm putting things up there like monogamy and the ticking time bomb of monogamy and stuff like that. And it's some really good information that can really do you good if you're open-minded. AndreBlaylock.com.
Well, we thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you, Andre.
Nikki, I appreciate y'all having me on.
You are always welcome. You know that, Andre.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I have to get my, you know, my feel in giving you a hard time and stuff, but I do think you're fabulous. You get on
my
last nerve, but I have much love for you.
Your nerves get a little bit more frayed with age, and I think you're like, what, like 63, 64 now? So don't take much.
All right, don't start. I got your phone number, and I know where you live, okay?
security. Okay. Y'all bring me back. I look forward next time you have me on. I would love to come back on and discuss like the age date rage formula and all that stuff. So I'm good.
Okay.
With that. Well, enjoy the rest of your weekend. We so
absolutely
appreciate you.
Bye everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Nikki, you want to tell them about next week's show?
Yeah. Thank you for joining us for another great episode of Rosie's Corner. Next week is going to be another fun-filled show. We have our favorite author of Understanding a Man, Elam B. King. And we always, always have a blast when he's on the show. Always.
We definitely do. He's been our book club of the month. He's in season one. He was a Prosy Corner. He was on her several times. So that is going to be another enjoyable conversation. So we really hope you will join us for that show. Also, be sure to visit www.marapros.blog this Monday for my new blog post for Exploring Mondays with Mara Pros. We want you to enjoy the rest of your weekend. And remember, He is risen. Have a blessed, blessed weekend. Thank you for tuning in. We love you guys. Just continue doing what you're doing. Stay positive.